vision. Is it dark in here? Can we get some light on? I was thinking, is it just me or is it kind of dark? It's kind of nice and cool in here, though, so that's a nice thing. But somewhere in between, maybe? We're good. But good morning and welcome to Foothill Community Church. And thank you for coming and thank you, worship team, for leading us and reminding us that Christ can be our vision. Amen. Well, this morning we are going to look, our lectionary passage leads us to Luke chapter 12, your pew Bible, if you want to follow along in that. It's on page 794, and it'll also be up on the screen for you. And I think I hear a little bit of some sort of an echoey thing going on, so Brian will fix that. All right. Right, Brian? Okay. So it's from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And before we read the passage, we need to kind of think a little bit about what's been happening up until this point in the book of Luke. Jesus has been traveling throughout the towns, cities and towns. He has been gathering a crowd. In fact, in chapter 12, verse 1, it says that thousands upon thousands had gathered, crowds had gathered, and they had been building to where they were crushing in on each other. So lots of people surrounding Jesus, wanting to hear what is going on, what is this new person, this new rabbi saying to us, and people were interested and wanted to hear. So we get to this time in verse 13 that says, someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me as judge or referee between you and your brother?" Then Jesus said to them, "Watch out, guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when someone is very wealthy." Then he told them a parable. A certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. He said to himself, "What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest." Then he thought, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. That's where I'll store my grain and goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have stored up plenty of goods, enough for several years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God said to him, 'Fool, tonight you will die. Now who will get the things you have prepared for yourself?' This is the way that it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and aren't rich toward God." The word of the Lord. So yay, Dale asked me to preach and I get to preach on greed. But honestly, I think it's kind of fitting. I know Dale doesn't have any problem preaching on topics that may be a little bit controversial or may kind of touch a sore spot, because Dale is a man of the word and that's not an issue here. But I know in some churches, pastors get a little nervous when they're gonna preach. We're talking about money today. And we're talking about hanging on to it or being generous with it. And it's kind of a stark story. This parable is not easy. And so just kind of hang on, hang with me. I promise you Dale will be back in the pulpit next week. And before I go too much farther, I want to remind you that last week when Jason spoke, he reminded us that we have a good, loving Father, a good, loving God who loves to give good things to his children. We're not working with a taskmaster. We're not working with a slave driver. We are choosing to connect ourselves to a benevolent, loving God. And it's from that perspective that this story is coming this morning. All right? All right. So it starts out with a man saying, "Hey, Jesus, settle a dispute between me and my brother. Make him share the inheritance with me." Which wouldn't have been terribly uncommon, because rabbis at that time would have been called upon to settle family disputes. If there were things that people couldn't agree on, they might go to the rabbi and ask. But Jesus, being Jesus, which I love about him, saw beyond what the question actually was to the heart of what the question was. And that's when he says, "Watch out, guard yourselves against all kinds of greed, because life isn't determined by your possessions." And then he goes into the parable. So let's look at the parable. The man in the story has a good year business-wise. He's got a business. Evidently, it has something to do with harvesting and probably a farmer of some sort. So he has a good year and a good crop. He needs to decide what to do with the overflow. And it's important to note that he didn't acquire this immorally or illegally. There's nothing wrong with him having a good year business-wise. He had a windfall. And so he decides to build larger barns, decides to take care of what it is that God has provided for him. So if we were to stop right there in the story, there's no problem, right? You've got an overflow, you need to find a place to put it, you build something to put it, maybe you get a different savings account, whatever it is, it's a business decision. That's not the problem. The problem of him having an abundance is not the problem in this story. What the problem is the way he approaches what he will do with that abundance. So if you look at verses 17 and 19, and look how many times he says, what I will do, I have no place for my harvest. Here's what I will do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. I'll store my grain and my goods. Do you hear I and mine a lot? He sounds kind of like a two-year-old when you go back and read it that way, right? Mine, mine, mine. You know, we don't have to teach kids to hang on to things. We have to teach kids to. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's teaching us what it means to be generous. The man is not looking to share his abundance. He's not looking around to say, here's all of this abundance. Who can I share it with? How can I use this for the kingdom? He's just saying, how can I keep it so that I can kind of retreat from life? I can lean back. I can be comfortable. And I can just kind of withdraw from what's going on in the world. He doesn't seem to have any sense of responsibility, his place and responsibility in the kingdom, for what this windfall could mean for those around him. It's the attitude that Jesus is warning about. It's the essence of greed is keeping what resources God brings our way without the care or regard for the need for others. So it's good when we have a good business year. It's good when we get a raise at work. It's good when things come and flow in. And Jesus is saying, what is your attitude toward that? Is it an automatic, okay, well, then I'm going to go get a new car payment, or I'm going to go take a bigger vacation, or I'm going to fill in the blank for whatever your thing is? Or do you take the time to ask God, God, how would you have me handle this overflow? I want to tell you a story about a woman that from my former church, and one of my friends is here, so she'll know who I'm talking about. Her name is Carol. Carol is a lovely senior citizen woman who started attending the church that I used to work at many years ago. She actually moved into the area. She and her husband were buying their retirement home, trying to come and settle down here in the Inland Empire. And while they were in escrow, her husband suddenly passed away. So she's suddenly a widow. What they had planned on using two pensions for was now, the way it was set up for them, it was only going to be one, and she was strapped. She had this brand new house. She was right in the middle of it. She decided to go ahead and come. Her house had already been sold. She was kind of stuck. So here she is in a new city, in a new church, and she's trying to kind of deal with all of that. And her finances are like really, really tight. She figured out that she could pay the bills, but it was just, I mean, there was just no extra. But she got involved in the church, and she wanted to be part of what was going on at the church, and so she had a background in business. She had been an administrator in a business for many years, so she started volunteering at the church. And I know here at Foothill, there's lots of places where you can volunteer. That's what she did. She came in one day a week. She would answer the phone. She was a receptionist. She would offer hospitality to people. She just wanted a chance to give and to be generous and to be part of what was happening in the church. And it was always wonderful to have her there. And then a few years later, the church started a capital campaign, which is a campaign to raise funds. At that time, the church body was leasing a building. They felt like it was a stewardship issue, that God was calling them to purchase a facility. And so they were starting a capital campaign and asking people in the congregation to prayerfully consider what they might be willing to give. Carol had nothing to give, legitimately. She was tithing, which was a huge stretch for her, but she didn't have any extra. It wasn't she didn't want to. She didn't have it, and she was burdened. She was bothered by it, and she came and met with different pastors and just said, you know, I'm not sure what to do, and I don't know. I want to be part of what God's doing here, and I don't want to be left out of the blessing that's happening in the kingdom. So she started to pray. Many of us prayed with her. And all of a sudden, she got an idea. And it'll sound simple to you, but it was important to her. She decided to have a yard sale. She took some collectibles. She had worked in an organization that knew that she liked these particular figurines, which were had some value, and they had great sentimental value to her. And she had loved them, and in her new home, she had displayed them. But she really felt like God was saying, would you be willing to give those up for the sake of having something to give? So it was a difficult thing for her to let go. She had to wrestle with it, but she chose to do it. And the proceeds of that, she invested in the campaign. And she then just continued to ask God for creative ways that she could just give a little. And the joy that would happen every time you would see her, the tradition there was that they would bring their offerings forward. And when you would see Carol walk up there, she just glowed with joy because she had an opportunity to be part of what God was doing in a very meaningful financial way. I tell you about Carol because she's about as opposite from the person in this parable as I could think, and somebody that I actually know. She wanted to give. Her heart was already tuned to, how can I be generous? What can I give? What can I do? How can I be involved? She wasn't saying, well, this is my stuff. This is my house. These are my things. I'm going to hang on to them so that I can enjoy them here in my house. They weren't doing anybody else outside of her house any good, but they were meaningful to her, and she had to choose whether she was going to do it or not. It sounds kind of small in a way that the proceeds from a yard sale, the amount we were trying to raise was, you know, a couple of million dollars. But I guarantee you Carol's part did something kingdom-wise that maybe the excess of someone who had a lot didn't. It all counts, but Carol's was a beautiful, beautiful gift. So today, as we're looking at, we have to start thinking about, how do we view the things that we have? How do we use what God has given us? And how do we, does compassion take a back seat? Or is generosity a habit for you? What is our natural inclination when it comes to giving? And these are questions that you're going to have to ask yourself, because the beauty is, this is between you and God. Right? Right. As I was studying and preparing for today, I was thinking about, I have always been a tither. But I kind of thought, you know, is that just something I'm on autopilot? Why do I tithe? And I was thinking back and praying back about my upbringing. My family lived about 30 minutes away from church when I was a kid. And so we had kind of a long car drive every Sunday morning. So my parents used that time often to talk to us about my brother and I, probably to keep us from fighting in the back seat, but to talk to us about, you know, maybe the chores that we had done that week, what did we get finished? And so we talked about what we had earned. We were able to earn money in my family, what kind of allowance we were going to be given. And so we kind of worked that out in the car. We would each take turns. And then, just as part of that ongoing conversation, it was, okay, now what are you going to do with that? How much of that then are you going to tithe? At that time, my parents were teaching me that tithing was 10%. And so if I made a dollar, you know, my mom always made sure and gave it to me in coins so that I could have that dime, so that I could put it in my little envelope. Well, when I got to junior church, it was in an envelope. When I was in primary church, the little plastic church with the slit in it that you, some of you know what I'm talking about. But to put the offering in, it was just part of life. It was just part of the routine. Money comes in. You consider how you're going to handle it. Money goes out. Money gets put wherever you have decided you're going to be. And I didn't realize what an incredible gift my parents had given me by teaching me that early, until I was in the ministry for several years. And I started having people come in and talk to me about, you know, I'm hearing about giving at church, and I'm hearing about tithing, and I don't get that. I'll give $20 once a month, and that should be good. And talking to people who were really struggling with, it's mine, I worked really hard for it, and now you're saying God's asking me to be generous with it, and I don't know what to do with that. Those are hard conversations when it's large amounts of money that we're talking about. It's easy when it's a dollar and it's a dime, but it's a lot harder as you get older and as you get your first job and then you get your first salaried job and then you get a promotion. What do we do? What do we do with that? Do we stay on autopilot and just stick a dollar in the plate when we walk by, or do we really consider, God, what are you calling me to? What would you have me do? We have an amazing founding father in John Wesley, and I found this story in several different places, so I am trusting that it's true. You know, sometimes the things you read, where you read them, you're not exactly sure, but it sounds like everything I know about John Wesley, and so I'm going to share it with you. It says, John Wesley was one of the great evangelists of the 18th century. We know that. In 1731, he began to limit his expenses so he would have more money to give to the poor. In the first year, his income was 30 pounds, and he found that he could live on 28 pounds, so he gave two away. His second year, his income doubled, so he made 60 pounds. He could still live on 28, and so he gave 32 away. In the third year, his income jumped to 90 pounds. He gave 62 pounds away. And he never had much money in his possession at any one time because he knew what he needed. He knew what he had decided was the living that he was going to provide for himself. But the rest of it, he felt like needed to go to others. This so baffled the English tax commissioners, I love this, that they investigated him in 1776, insisting that a man of his income, because it was known that he was one of the wealthiest, he could have been one of the wealthiest preachers in that time. It was very clear that people were giving freely to him to fund the ministry, and so he was making quite a bit of money. He just wasn't keeping it. So the tax commissioners were checking in on him. They said, you must have more silver dishes that you're not paying excise tax on. He wrote to them and said, I have two silver spoons at London and two at Bristol. This is all the plate that I have at present, and I shall not buy any more while so many around me want bread. Wow. When he died in 1791 at age 87, the only money that he had were a couple of coins in his pocket and a couple of coins in his dresser drawer. And he is noted to have said, I cannot help leaving my books behind whenever God calls me, but in every other respect, my own hands will be my executors. He wanted to be the executor of his own will, basically, by giving it away while he was still alive. That's amazing to me. That's super convicting to me. And it's like, okay, Lord, is that what we're all called to do? And God reminded me, God didn't call me to be John Wesley. He didn't call me to be Carol. He called me to be me. I appreciated so much a couple of weeks ago when Tom shared his testimony about deliberately keeping some cash in his pocket so that he can be generous when he comes across people. That's what God's called Tom to do, and that's his obedient step. I don't have to judge myself on John Wesley's standards or Carol's standards or Tom's standards, but I do have to judge myself on what Scripture says. And Scripture says that greed is a vice. Actually, in I think it's in 1 Corinthians. It is listed as a vice along with things like murder and adultery and theft. Greed is a big deal to God. Hanging on to things that we shouldn't be hanging on to is another way to describe greed. For our own benefit, is a big deal to God. It's a big deal in Scripture. And that's why a lot of times when these passages come up for pastors, they don't want to talk about it because it's like, well, I might step on somebody's toes, or they might get offended, or they might think that I'm trying to ask them because we have something big. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if you noticed, but the pew up here is a different color and there's a couple chairs. The church is working on some things to kind of fix some things up around here. And probably, I don't know if today will be the day, but probably in the next days and weeks, you're going to hear that the church would love that we as the church can invest in some of these things to kind of get our facility looking a little bit more modern, a little bit nicer. So there is going to be a call soon for money, but we follow the lectionary, so this is what landed. But isn't that just like God? Isn't that just like God to say, I know what's coming, and to be able to help us prepare? Because the last thing I would want is for someone to feel manipulated or some sort of peer pressure. Well, if everybody's going up to give, then I have to go up and give. That kind of giving isn't going to last. That's not the kind of generosity that this is talking about. The generosity that I'm talking about this morning is a generosity of spirit. Is someone who has said, Lord, everything I have came from you anyway. How do you want me to use the things that you've given me? Yes, I go out and I do my part and I work and I work hard and I try to spend carefully. But I'll ultimately know that every ability that I have came from you. The fact that I can stand upright and walk and talk and all of those things came from God. So it's all from him that we have it. We are the stewards of the kingdom. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to live? Are we going to go on autopilot and just kind of go with what we've always known? Or are we going to take the time periodically to just do a heart check? And that's what we're going to do today. That's what I'm going to invite you to do, if you're willing. We're going to get ready to have a few moments of reflection. And I'm going to invite you to do a heart check. It's as simple as just saying, God, am I holding on too tightly to what you've given me? Am I finding my security in the things that I have rather than in who you are? Are there ways that you're calling me to be generous that I have missed because I haven't been paying attention? My job is to point you toward the scripture and what the scripture says. And the scripture says that generosity is part of God's character and part of who we are as God's people. The Holy Spirit's job is to help you sort out what that means in your life. It might be a little, it might be a lot, I don't know. But what I do know is that the good, loving Father that Jason preached about last week, who gives good gifts to his children, wants to bless the church and all the people that we come in contact with. And if we are all willing to be generous stewards of what God has given us, just think about how different the world could be. So let's take a few moments and just allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and mind before Carrie comes.